President Trump and Republicans in Congress are talking about giving corporations a big tax cut, possibly to a rate as low as 20%. Here's the thing. Companies like Fiat Chrysler, big manufacturers like General Electric, they're not going to build factories, hire thousands of people just because they get a windfall. They're going to do that if their market and their customers tell them they need that capacity and need those jobs. Companies may use some of their tax windfall to invest in new equipment, new machinery, new technology. But that doesn't necessarily mean humans will get more jobs. It could be that robots get more jobs.
Apple could ditch longtime chip supplier Qualcomm. Two people familiar with the matter telling Reuters Apple has designed iPhones and iPads without the Qualcomm chips. That news immediately hitting Qualcomm's stock, down about 7% on Tuesday. Sources say the Qualcomm chip-free iPhones would be released in the fall of 2018, but Apple could still change course before then.
As Americans start signing up for Obamacare health insurance plans Wednesday, experts expect lower participation rates this year, with a fierce battle in Washington that's undermining the program's future. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office estimates that about 4 million fewer people will sign up for Obamacare private insurance than previously forecast due to Trump administration policies.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday. It's November 2nd, 2017, 5:11 in the morning. Glad you're here with us for another business day, another edition of The Opening Bell. And we've got a good show for you this morning. Lots of coverage this morning on what's happening with taxes and the Federal Reserve. A little bit later in the program, Charlotte Smith is going to be here. She's from Google. And she's going to be talking about the new pop-up donut shops that are popping up around the country. One of them is going to be here in Chicago. And all of it is has to do with Google's new technology, a chance for you maybe to have a donut and try the technology. One of them coming to Chicago. That's a little bit later. It's Thought Leader Thursday. Greg Warsek from Associated Bank is here. We're going to be talking commercial real estate. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Asian stock markets mostly lower as investors await Donald Trump's announcement on his choice to lead the Federal Reserve. In Tokyo this morning, the Nikkei index up about 119 points. That's about 0.5%. The Hang Seng lower by about 0.25%. The Shanghai is off by about 1/3. In Europe this morning, markets are generally mixed, with the FTSE up just 8 points, and the DAX and CAC are lower. Futures in this country are pointing toward opening losses, flat to opening on Wall Street later this morning. Right now, Dow futures looks to be down about 14 points. Crude oil is trading at $54.42 a barrel, which is down just about 12 cents. Of course, all eyes will be on Washington today. President Trump says he'll announce the new head of the Federal Reserve. Mr. Trump says that he is looking at a couple of candidates, but it's been widely reported that he'll choose Jerome Powell, who up until recently was the only Republican on the Fed board. Looks like Janet Yellen will not get a second term for that. Trump said Yellen was excellent, asked yesterday if she was his pick. He said, "I didn't say that." Also yesterday, President Trump signed a repeal of a banking rule that let consumers join together to sue their banks or credit card companies to resolve financial disputes. The president signed the measure at the White House privately. Journalists were not allowed for the signing as well. The Republican-led Senate narrowly voted to repeal the regulation from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which the banking industry had been seeking to roll back. You'll have to go through arbitration now if you want to take your credit card company or bank to court. Increased demand from rental car companies, strong truck and SUV sales, and recovery from hurricanes in Florida and Texas were not enough to push U.S. auto sales into positive territory for October. Sales, according to the Detroit automakers, fell about 1.3% from a year ago. It's Thought Leader Thursday. We thought we'd talk a little bit today about commercial real estate. The market's generally going down in the Chicago area. Seen some declines on that. We thought we'd bring in Greg Warsek. He is a Senior Vice President and Chicago Market Manager for Commercial Real Estate at Associated Bank. And Greg, morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be back.
Let's talk a little bit about some trends that we're seeing. First, commercial property sales. Saw a report in Crain Chicago Business on pace for a 3-year low. What's happening?
You know, that That article actually surprised me, too, because the market is still feeling pretty strong from where we're sitting. And, you know, talking to a couple of brokers, it sounds like, you know, there's still quite a bit of property on the market. The reality is that the sellers and the buyers are getting further apart. Sellers obviously looking at what they saw in 2015 and 16 in terms of these record sales, and maybe their expectations are a little high. And likewise, the sellers are maybe getting a little more conservative in their underwriting and their bids, and maybe sticking to them because we're sort of getting to the top of the market, if you will.
It was a 20% decline from the same period in 2016. That's a pretty sizable number.
It's pretty significant. I mean, I think it was about $10 billion in trades that have closed through year-to-date compared to over $20 billion that have closed the previous 2 years. So that is a pretty significant drop-off.
If you look back to the 2008 crisis, the Great Recession, the numbers are still much better than then.
Yeah, they're still up quite a bit. And actually, if you drill down into those numbers a little bit, there's some more clarity comes from the standpoint of if you look at apartments and industrial, those are actually up. And that's not a surprise based on what we're seeing, because those are also two strongest asset classes that we're seeing from a lending perspective. So those are still seeing significant growth. It's the office and hotel that are lagging quite a bit and bringing down that number.
One other story that I saw that I don't know if it is connected to this maybe in some way, but a new report out about retail vacancies in the Chicago area at near a seven-year high, up to about 10.5%. Is that connected at all to that others?
You know, definitely in the retail space, I could see an impact there. There's investors are pulling back. We're still seeing decent demand for loan growth on new retail, on infill, pre-leased, smaller strips. Grocery anchored, you know, there's still some expansion that Jewel and Mariano's are looking at. But other than that, it's pretty quiet in the retail space. And the investor market is really starting to pull back and pause, especially when you move outside of metropolitan Chicago area. If you get out into some tertiary markets, it's very difficult to find investors to buy or lenders to lend on those deals.
I know that we've talked about this in the past, but it seems that one of the highlights of the market is that people that own these buildings, the owners of these buildings, are finding unique ways of filling them, maybe not with a retail outlet, but with something like a pop-up store or something.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of different creative ways to fill the space these days, and it's not your traditional retailers. We're seeing a lot more health-related, you know, a lot more athleticos, actual dentists and doctor's office, just less traditional retail users than you've seen in the past.
You mentioned that it might be more difficult for some of the underwriting of this, especially the big properties. And I know this article I found in Crane's says in Chicago specifically. How does that work exactly, and what's the fix for that?
You mean from a retail perspective?
Yeah, from a commercial property perspective too. I mean, the refi is harder when it's a larger space, and the current climate is making it harder.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a general sense that there's a pullback in some areas in terms of, you know, users are requiring less space. Retailers are reformulating their whole delivery system from how does it tie in with e-commerce. So there's just so much uncertainty now in the market that it's getting more and more difficult to underwrite these deals.
All of this with the Amazon bid in the background, that's getting a lot of talk recently. As we submitted, the Chicago area submitted the bid for Amazon's HQ2. Talk to me a little bit about that. I mean, you've seen some of the locations that are in that bid. What do you think the shot is for Chicago? Do we have a chance of that, or how do you want to talk about that?
You know, I like to think that we have a very good shot. We definitely check the boxes in terms of what Amazon was looking for. We have a lot of we have several very interesting sites. You know, on the north side downtown, I think we put out some really good examples of where they could execute on their strategy. But I've also seen some of the bids from some of the other competing cities, and they have some compelling offers as well. I think it's going to come down to dollars. It's going to come down to financial incentives, hard dollar incentives, not just tax credits, but, you know, who's got the best financial deal.
Yeah, and so that sort of transitions us into the next story, a thought piece I saw recently about, you know, big commercial developments rejuvenating the places where they go in. And this one story was about how Austin, the Austin neighborhood in Chicago, might be able to benefit from something like this. I think you saw the piece as well.
I did. It's, you know, commercial real estate has an opportunity to lead when it comes to rejuvenating any area. And certainly HQ2 with Amazon, no matter where they go, it's going to have a prolific effect on anywhere it goes. And it, just for example, if they were to pick that vacant old Brock site in Austin, it would change that city in, you know, forever. I think same thing with some of the opportunities here in Chicago. There's the post office, there's Lincoln Yards. Mm-hmm. If one of those ends up being the winning bid, the ripple effect from, you know, from that investment is going to be unbelievable.
There are limits, I would guess, too, though, right? I mean, as much as we would like to see a silver bullet take care of Austin's problems, the neighborhood's problems, there's a lot going in the opposite direction, isn't there? They've got a big hurdle to get over.
Yeah, there's a lot of communities in Chicago that have cycled. They were very, you know, prosperous areas, and then over time have declined. But there are opportunities for it to come back. One of the things that Austin has several things that they have is, you know, location, access to communication, access to downtown. I mean, they're just 9 miles west of downtown Chicago, and that close proximity, you know, it has some elements that are pretty compelling, but to actually redevelop and get them back on track, it's gonna need a lot of cohesive support from a grassroots standpoint, community support, community organization support, financial incentives, really from the city to entice a developer to come in, and same for corporate users. You know, one of the examples cited in that article was Pullman, the success of how they turned around the site that they had.
You mentioned the Brock's plant too. When it was, you know, in Austin, I think it had something like 3,500 people that worked there at the heyday of it. That's a huge number of jobs. Amazon wants to bring 50,000. It's hard to even sort of put that in perspective.
That is pretty amazing. But the Amazon requirements are pretty significant, far exceed the 27-acre Brock site that's located in Austin right now. So I don't know that that'd be a target. But certainly that 27 acres is a great, great redevelopment opportunity. I'm not sure that it'll ever bring back that number of jobs unless they can find some users. Mm-hmm. A lot of that type of infill development is frankly, distribution space. It's being developed for last mile, getting Amazon as close as possible to the rooftops.
Yeah, it's and, you know, bring up the number of jobs just to sort of give people size and scale. I think people are familiar, too, with the Ford plant down on Torrance. A fraction of 50,000 jobs are there. I mean, we're talking a huge economic shot to the community if this thing comes.
Absolutely.
I know you saw the study, too, about how Chicago's office buildings are in themselves, even with nothing in them, a major economic engine, in addition to the businesses, obviously, that are there doing their own economic prospering. Talk to me a little bit about how these buildings themselves are economic engines.
Yeah, it's actually a very interesting study, and I did read it. It's BOMA, which is the Building Owners and Managers Association of Chicago, which is over 200 buildings in Chicago, commissioned this survey, this study with JLL, and looking at the economic impact of its member buildings on downtown Chicago. And frankly, the survey really doesn't surprise you in its findings. I mean, the contributions are significant. These buildings spend significant amount of money in terms of operating expenses. And, it's billions of dollars. Same with The interesting thing in that study, which frankly surprised me, is there's over 13,000 businesses within right. those buildings.
Yeah, 12,733 businesses. That
Amazing.
Surprised me too, right?
Yeah.
And I think it was, 235 member buildings. It shows you that this is an economy unto itself, right? I mean, that's why we watch it and you pay attention to it.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, it's not too surprising looking at that study that the number of businesses have grown in the city fairly significantly. And, you know, we've talked about it on previous shows. It's the inflow from the suburbs, mm-hmm. you know, all the companies moving downtown to go after the employee base that's down here with the millennials, you know, access to transportation. There's a lot more of the tech jobs coming into the city. Again, same reasons being by the millennials. And then, you know, the survey also alluded to the fact that you have this shared space concept that continues to grow, which is fascinating to me. But again, it's all about incubator space. And there's a lot of growth there on the small business side.
Yeah, one of the other highlights of this business study that I wanted to touch on, shared space is still a growing thing where companies are sharing space in these buildings.
Yeah, I just looked at a separate study in the last week that was similar to this survey, that it's over 2 million square feet now that this, you know, this shared space concept is now in the buildings, just in the CBD. So it's pretty significant.
Greg, always good to chat with you. We'll see you next time. It'll be the holidays probably the next time you're here.
Look forward to it, Steve.
All right, take care. Greg Worsak is the Senior Vice President and Chicago Market Manager of Commercial Real Estate at Associated Bank. In our Thought Leader conversation today, you can listen to our past conversations at WGNradio.com on the opening bell page. Follow Associated Biz Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter, and make sure you head over to AssociatedBank.com/thought leadership to learn more about our thought leaders and hear more of our conversations there as well.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. Brad Keywell has left his board position at Groupon, the Chicago e-commerce company he co-founded nearly 10 years ago. Keywell said he's departing to focus more on Uptake, the fast-growing Chicago startup he founded in 2014. Speaking of Groupon, the company posted quarterly earnings yesterday that missed revenue expectations, but its stock was up after posting strong gross profit numbers, indicating the company's turnaround efforts may be working. West Monroe Partners, Chicago tech consulting firm, has acquired 30-year-old LA competitor Cast Management. Terms of the deal weren't disclosed. And LinkedIn put together a list of the hottest startups in the world, and three Chicago companies cracked the list. G2 Crowd, Uptake, and Sprout Social all made LinkedIn's ranking of companies professionals want to work for the most. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Glad you're here with us for our Thursday edition. Google is opening a pop-up donut shop that'll preview its new Google Home Mini and more, and it's happening in Chicago and a couple of other big cities. Joining us this morning, Charlotte Smith, who's the Global Communications and Public Affairs Chief at Google. Charlotte, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Hi, Steve. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, you've got me already, don't all. You have to do is say donuts, and I'm there. Tell us what the idea here is with these pop-up donut shops.
Well, you know, as you alluded to, about a month ago, we announced our brand new hardware line, one of which is the Google Home Mini. It's one of our new flagship products, and it's about the same size as a donut. So we thought it'd be fun to go all across the country and give people the chance not only to have some great donuts, but interact with the Google Home Mini because it has so many fun features in such a small package.
Well, tell us about the Mini. If people aren't familiar with it, what does it do, and is it the competition to What's-Her-Name?
What's-Her-Name is correct.
Right.
Listen, there are a lot of good home speakers on the market, but we're really proud of the Mini just because of how much it can bring to the table. I mean, not only does it have rich audio quality for such a small package, I mean, the highs are high, the basses are low, but it also brings all of the smarts from the Google Assistant, which means it can coordinate across your home, across your Gmail, which for me is useful in catching flights and making them, but it can also translate speech in real time, which is great if you have out-of-town guests or just like me, have, you know, trouble ordering takeout over the phone, super duper useful. And then finally, it streams seamlessly across both Android TV and other media platforms. So especially for everyone who likes to watch YouTube on TV, it's just as simple as asking the Home Mini.
You said translate speech. Does that mean that it can recognize me versus somebody else in my household? Is that what you're talking about?
Not only can it recognize different voices, but it recognizes different languages and can translate that automatically.
In real time. And this is something, too, that's just going across the Google device. I know that that was a big part of the release of the last that we saw. This actually the earbuds, and that's happening on the actual mobile device, too, isn't it?
That's right. And I actually have a pair with me today. We're showing it to a few folks in our Chicago office. Super useful. And now it encourages everyone to just go take a vacation. You can go anywhere with these.
Very cool. And I'm guessing the idea here with these pop-up shops is to take the guesswork out of it. I know that when I'm shopping around online, there's something missing. I like to hold the device. I like to, you know, play with it and test it. Is that the idea here, to give people hands-on?
Yes, that's exactly right. You know, Google's getting really serious about having a flagship hardware line, and we realized that we needed to bring it to people, you know, outside of the biggest cities, the people who would never have a chance otherwise to interact with some of our really cool features. And we figured that the one thing that brings everyone together is donuts.
Obviously, I think people are probably thinking right now, well, you know, Apple has this new shop that's just going to be a couple of feet away from your pop-up shop here in Chicago. Is this something that Google is considering, to have more of a brick-and-mortar presence in big cities?
You know, I think it's important for us, as we develop this hardware line, to also make sure we're getting it out to communities. You know, whether that's via our office spaces here in Chicago and in other cities, or more activations like donut shops. I think for us, it's a priority to make sure that we're getting our devices out to everyone and making sure that everyone has the best Google experience they can. So I would stay tuned. I think you'll see a lot more from us in the coming months.
And the shop is going to be at 435 North Michigan Avenue. That's right here at the Tribune Tower, right near us, November 5th. And 6th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Give our listeners a sense of what's going to be there when they arrive. What's it going to look like? How is it going to feel?
Yeah, sure. Well, it's going to be hard to miss. It's a big pink shop with a G on it, and you'll see the donuts right from the window. It's very Instagrammable. You're going to have a live of G experience and, you know, an Instagram corner. But you'll walk in and you'll see conveyor belts full of boxes, and those boxes will either have donuts or Google Home Minis in them. You'll ask somebody for a menu list, and you'll be able to ask devices queries, and it'll spit out a box. And you'll see all of the cool things you can do with the Google Home Mini. We have some custom flavors from Stan's Donuts that you'll be able to try. And in my experience, the lines have been really long, so you'll be able to make some new friends who are also maybe into hardware.
This is going to be, it already is, a huge revenue generator for companies like Google and Apple. I'm talking about the home speaker market. If you had to look ahead maybe a year, 2 years, or 3 years, are these going to be in everybody's homes?
You know, it's tough to say, but I think especially for those of us who, you know, maybe live in a smaller apartment or maybe just want some of our devices to talk to each other, right? Like, I'd like the lights to go out when I go to sleep without having to sprint across the room and run into a coffee table. I can see it just making things much more seamless for people in the future. And when we talk about our devices, we say that they're radically helpful. And I think the future of these devices is for them to become more and more radically helpful, so that they're in your home, but you don't even recognize they're there, right? Like, they're operating in the background and just making your life a little bit more simple.
Well, Charlotte, we appreciate you being with us this morning, and best of luck with your pop-up shop. And we'll be there to get some donuts for sure. And thanks for being on the Opening Bell this morning.
Sounds good. Thanks so much for having me, and have fun this weekend.
Thank you. Charlotte Smith, Global Communications and Public Affairs at Google. Again, the shop is going to be at 435 North Michigan, November 5th and 6th from 10 to 6 o'clock, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
You're listening to the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It is 551. Thanks for being with us this morning. We're watching on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Futures move into negative territory on a report that the corporate tax cut that's being considered by the GOP Congress may be temporary. at least in a written proposal that has been leaked out by the Hayes, House Ways and Means Committee. The bill would not permanently lower the corporate tax rate to 20%. Instead, the cut would be temporary, and the reduction would expire in around 8 years. That's according to a report in the Washington Post. Futures are down 20 points this morning as we head toward the opening bell at 8:30 Chicago time. Let's get the latest on commodities and agriculture now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Another good day in the cattle market yesterday as live cattle futures at the Merck hit life of contract highs for the third straight session. On expectations that beef packers will continue paying higher prices in the cash markets in the plains. December live cattle futures up 97 cents for the day at 126.60, and January feeder cattle futures at a new contract high of $161.25 a hundredweight. Now, on the other hand, we did see hog prices move lower yesterday with the December lean hog contract down $1.40, more than 2%. February lean hog futures also declined, but the rest of the months traded higher. The grain market, well, soybean futures rose to a one-week high. Concerns that USDA's monthly crop report next week will show a lower soybean yield. Corn firmed along with the soybeans, and again firm cash markets lending support. December corn ended up 2.5 cents at 3.48 and a quarter. Well, last week it was the FFA in Indianapolis. This weekend it's the AFA. That's the Agriculture Future of America. College students studying for agricultural careers, and it'll be held in Kansas City this weekend, and I'll be there once again to spend time with some very bright college kids from colleges across the country. You have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You have a great day as well. One other story we're watching for you this morning. Automotive parts supplier Lear Corporation says it is moving forward with construction of a new $30 million SUV seat manufacturing plant in northwest Indiana. The Southfield, Michigan-based company plans to consolidate its Hammond and Portage operations at the new plant that will be located in Hammond, and it will employ about 875 workers. At groundbreaking event was held yesterday. The company makes SUV seats for Dearborn, Michigan-based Ford Motor Company. Today on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Thursday, it is November 2nd, and it's 2017. The Labor Department issues revised data on productivity for the third quarter today and also reports on the number of people who applied for unemployment benefits last week. Also, Freddie Mac reports on this week's average U.S. mortgage rates. Yum Brands reports quarterly financial results. Apple and Starbucks also in there with their report on earnings after the closing bell today. President Trump also scheduled to announce his choice to be the new head of the Federal Reserve. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Thursday. It's November 2nd.